Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
So you should have all received on entry one of these sheets. If you haven't got one of these sheets, please raise your hand and our welcome team will serve you. Okay, that'll help in what I'm talking about today. And I have got about 20 slightly extended sheets for anyone that wants them after the service, so you can come and grab one of those from me today, and that'd be really brilliant. So today is called Step Out in the Spirit. Are you ready to step out in the Spirit?
Come on,
you're looking at me like a bunch of consumers. We're not consumers, are we? We are the body of Christ. So my question again is, are you ready to step out in the Spirit?
Yes.
Much better, much better, much better. Turn to your neighbour, say, are you ready to step out in the Spirit? And it's not weird and wacky, don't worry, it's not weird and wacky. It's natural. It's natural. And so, Lord, this morning, as we just speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit again, Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you came on the day of Pentecost and you baptized those 120 people in the upper room with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Lord. And the gift isn't just for then, it's for today, Lord. And you've empowered and you equipped your church, the body of Christ, with spiritual gifts, Lord, to build up the people of God, to win people into the faith, God, that they'd be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so we pray, Lord, that, Lord, this body would become a powerful body equipped by you, you at the center, that we may work for you, serve you in the power of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, seeing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Please take your seats. Brilliant. So today is going to be very... I'm going to speak, then we're going to have a bit of time just to be practical as well. Time is going rapidly, so I'm going to go very quickly. So in week one, this is week three, in week one we learned that the power of Pentecost is a priority for all of us. So it's not an optional extra. It's not if you think, it's okay if you're a Pentecostal. We are a Pentecostal church, by the way. Or it's okay if you're a charismatic believer, but maybe I'm from a different... Actually, can I just say, guess who was one of the 120 in the upper room? Who was it? Mary. So Mary was one of the first believers speaking in tongues. Amen?
Yeah.
I say that on purpose because it's beyond denominations. Okay, it's about people of God being equipped for service. So we went, and then last week I was away, but Pastor Anne spoke about the gifts of the Spirit, and she mentioned that the gift is to you, but not for you. So the whole point is the Holy Spirit gives us gifts that can flow through us to other people. So it's a gift to us, but it's a gift to the recipient as we step out in faith, step out in the Holy Spirit. So Christmas time in our household is very busy, and often around the tree there's lots of different trees. But have you ever been Christmas time, have you experienced a Christmas time where there's gifts around the tree, but you've left a gift under the tree and you forgot about it? In our household, there's wrapping paper everywhere, and it's pandemonium. And in all the mess on the floor and the carpet and the gifts that are being unwrapped, it's easy to spot or miss a gift still staying under the Christmas tree. Have you ever left a gift under the Christmas tree? I remember one Christmas when the kids were younger. I think it was our Daniel, and we gave all the kids all their gifts, but we forgot Daniel's main gift. We left it under the Christmas tree. And I thought, I'm sure there's something's missing. We get colouring books and all sort of stuff. There's something missing. His car set. Well, I didn't say it because it's a surprise. But and we got it and he unwrapped it. It's like, wow, amazing, amazing. And it's a bit like you and I. We give our lives to Jesus Christ. We give the gift of faith, and through grace in Jesus, we become born again believers. But that's not it. It's not about becoming born-again believers. It's about being equipped and empowered for ministry and service. And we need that through the ministration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we can't leave that gift of the Holy Spirit under the tree. It's for you and it's for me today. So I've got this. Paul writes, now concerning spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Another version says, I do not want you to be ignorant. It says, I want you to understand about spiritual gifts. I want you to pay attention to spiritual gifts. Okay? So are we paying attention this morning?
Yes.
Are we ready to step out?
Come on.
Because I know something about all of you here today. That you have got a gift of the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
One, several. You've got gifts. Remember, it's not for you. It's for someone else. Big idea today is that we are gifted by God and guided by love. Gifted by God, but guided by love. The whole purpose of spiritual gifts, yes, it is for the Holy Spirit to flow through us, but why and how? Through love. Through love. Paul describes, and we'll talk more about this in a little while, but Paul describes the most excellent way. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about the way of love. If we operate in gifts but do not have love, we become a clanging cymbal, he says. So a few verses for us to quickly read through today. The key passages of spiritual gifts are, think 12 and 4. Say 12 and 4. Say 4. So we've got Romans 12, we've got 1 Corinthians 12, we've got Ephesians 4, and we've got 1 Peter 4, okay? But I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. So Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I realize God has treated me with undeserved grace, and I tell each one of you not to think you are better than you really are. Amen? Use good sense and measure yourself by the amount of faith that God has given you. A body is made up of many parts, and each of them has its own use. So we're a body, many parts. Every one of you is valuable in the sight of God and to each other. Absolutely. That's how it is. Many of us, each part of the body of Christ, as well as part of one another. Verse 6, God has also given each of us different gifts to use. If we can prophesy, we should do it according to the amount of faith we have. If we can serve others, we should serve. If we can teach, we should teach. If we can encourage others, we should encourage. Get that? Encouragement is a spiritual gift. If we can give, we should be generous. If we are leaders, we should do our best. If we are good to others, we should do it cheerfully. We be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil and hold tight everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters and honor others more than you do yourself. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. Take care of God's needy people and welcome strangers into your home. You get it? Amazing. And then we move into 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, verse 4. There are many different kinds of spiritual gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve the same Lord, and we can do different things. Yet the same God works in all of us and helps us in everything we do. The Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. Some of us can speak with wisdom, while others can speak with knowledge. But these gifts come from the same Spirit. To others, the Spirit has given great faith or the power to heal the sick or the power to work mighty miracles. Some of us are prophets. Some of us recognize when God's Spirit is present. Others can speak different kinds of languages and still others can tell what these languages mean. But it is the same. It is the Spirit who does all this and decides which gifts to give each of us. Isn't that amazing? So the Spirit is working, actively working, not just over 2,000 years ago, but today, friends, today, in your life, if you'd have it. In verse 27, it goes on to say, says Paul, together you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of his body. First, God chose some to be apostles and prophets and teachers for the church. But he also chose some to work miracles or heal the sick or to help others, to be leaders or to speak different kinds of languages. Not everyone is an apostle, not everyone is a prophet, not everyone is a teacher, not everyone can work miracles, not everyone can heal the sick, not everyone can speak different kinds of languages, not everyone can tell what these languages mean. I want you to desire the best gifts. So I will show you a much better way, writes Paul. So God wants us, through the writings of Paul, to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. He says desire the best gifts. I wonder what to you, don't have to answer this, what to you is the best gift? If you could have one spiritual gift, and there's a list on your sheet, what would that be? What would you say, God, I don't know if I've got that, but I would love that one. I'd love that one. Four things for us to think about very quickly. Number one, this is a priority for all believers. It's a priority of all believers. Paul says to each, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. So when we operate in spiritual gifts, it's for the good of other people. Every believer is gifted. Every believer is included. And every believer has a contribution to make. It's not for some. It's not for the pastors. It's for every one of us today. Do you believe that? And my conviction is before I've finished, that in your heart you're going to say, yes, I believe it. I don't know. Some of you might say, I don't know what gifts I have, but I believe it and I want to operate in the gifts more and more in different dimensions and different levels that God has given me. Gifts are for the common goods. Therefore, Paul writes, desire the gifts. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love. Think of like a dog chasing its prey, or a lion. Pursue love. Pursue love. So don't, first of all, pursue the gifts. Pursue love. And earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So everything we do should be worked out of love. If I'm here today and I'm teaching, but I have not love, I might as well leave. It's got no bearing. Everything we've got to do is got to be born out of love. Lord, increase our love for one another. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. It's to build people up, it's to advance the kingdom, it's to serve effectively, it's to reveal God's presence. If God thinks spiritual gifts are important, then so should we. Amen. Amen. Are you ready to step out in the Spirit today? Amen? I think we're warming up. We are called to use them because we're gifted by God, but guided by love. So number one, it's priority for every believer. Number two, practice makes perfect. So do you remember those days when you first rode a bicycle? How did you begin? Did you read an instruction manual? Who read an instruction manual? You might have done. You just had a go. I was telling my kids the other week, I've still got a scar on my leg. I remember when I was growing up, we had a driveway, it had quite a steep hill. And I remember at the age of about three, I was on my bicycle with, I think it had stabilizers at the time, going down this steep hill. And I crashed at the end, and the handlebar, the rubber bit went through and the metal bit went into my leg, you know. And apparently it hurt because I've got a scar still. But I didn't read a manual. I just got on the bike. And eventually I got rid of the stabilizers and I was riding. I was a bit wobbly. Whey! And eventually you're upright and you're riding along. Because you learn by doing. It's the Jesus model. Jesus' model for any ministry is learn by doing. We're apprentices of Jesus. So we get up, we might have a bit of an understanding, a bit of information, a bit of teaching. We might learn some things, but ultimately comes a point where you've got to learn on the job. You've got to go and you'll make some mistakes. You know, you might get off, crash your bicycle at some stages. It's okay. God's got you. But we get on and we learn on the job. And as we're going, we can move. It's like a stationary vehicle. It's hard to sort of, you know, if to turn the wheel on a car, it's hard if the car is stationary. But when the car's moving, it's easy, isn't it? Same with our lives. As we're moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit will guide us, help us in community, in leadership. We can guide one another and help one another as we're moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But practice makes perfect. Paul tells Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God. Timothy, his young apprentice, get going. Get going. Get going. The gift was already there. Timothy needed to develop it. There's different ways we've heard last week of finding out what your gifts are, okay? But some practical ways are find out where there's a need. Find out where there's a need in church and serve. Now, you know, can I just say this? Those of you that serve on a Sunday team, that's amazing. Thank you. But that's not it. That's part of it. It's you serving God where He is leading you to serve. And actually, the best places are out there. Where you work, where you live, where you do life, and you serve God. And God is thinking, I want you to serve God by having your neighbors around for a meal and talk to them and find out about their story and throw into the conversation about me and your story. Wow, amazing. Doing life missionally. Wow. So doing things outside of the church walls is amazing. But where is there a need? Can I say this? Sometimes in life, in church, okay, people get a bit frustrated. Hear me. People get frustrated about certain needs not being met. Listen to that. Listen to that. If you are frustrated about a certain need not being met, guess what? I would say 9 times out of 10, that's because you've got a gift in your life. You can see a certain lens and you think, why is that need not being met? Because God might be saying to you, I'm raising you up to be a help to do that, to meet that need. Because everyone is wired differently. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes needs can go unnoticed or forgotten. So, 100%. But if you're wired that way, then maybe Holy Spirit's saying, hey, God wants you to raise you up in your gifting, in your ministry, in the way you see life to meet those needs. Say yes to opportunities. Pay attention to where there's fruit. Listen to the affirmation of others. It's so important that we do things in community, because when we're together in community, then we can learn from one another and we can see what's happening. Have you ever, if you desire, for example, to be used by God in healing, then what should you be doing? How should you be riding your bike? Yes, you can be praying, Lord, use me in healing, but what have you got to do eventually? Start praying for the sick. So do you mind if I just pray for you? You're ill. Can I just put their hands on you? I'm going to pray that you're going to be healed right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. So start stepping out. And then if you start to see people getting healed, that's your fruit. God's speaking to you. You're being mobilized by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts grow through use. Unused gifts remain undeveloped gifts. So remember, we're gifted by God, but let's be guided by love. Number three, very quickly, the purpose of gifts. So there are many different ways of categorizing the spiritual gifts. So please don't, what I've presented to you today on your piece of paper, it's just one way. There are many different ways of describing different gifts, okay? And on this sheet of paper, you've got three categories of gifts, the love gifts, word gifts, and power gifts. I find that quite a helpful way of categorizing, but there are other ways of categorizing them, so don't worry about the categories, okay? But just to talk about this briefly, love gifts, they're about demonstrating God's love. So as I'm talking about these different categories, maybe you're gonna feel a drawing, particular drawing to one particular grouping, or maybe them all, I don't know. But pay attention to what Holy Spirit's saying to you and moving to talking to you about right now. So the love gifts are the demonstration of God's love. We all want love, don't we? Amen? Demonstration of God's love. So these gifts primarily serve, care for, support, encourage, strengthen people through practical expressions of God's compassion. Love gifts often operate behind the scenes, but are essential to health and unity of the church. So we've got a bunch of gifts there. We've got six there. Administration. I'm not going to go through them all. You can read them on your sheet. Helps or service, so meeting the practical needs. Giving, providing resources. Mercy gifts, demonstrating compassion to those that need compassion. Now, I've put in there two other gifts, and I'm sure some of you are thinking, Lord, I don't want that sixth gift. But I am going to mention it. Celibacy. Can I say this? Being married is not the goal. Being single is not the goal. The goal is, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? I remember when I was not yet married, I had so much more time. Who remembers that? Yeah. So much more time. And I read the verses in Corinthians, the Paul saying it's good to be single. And I remember saying that, thinking, Lord, I don't want to be single. And then literally a few weeks later, God said to me, no, I'm going to provide someone to marry you. And that's what I wanted. And there's power in our marriage and unity in our marriage. And I thank God for our marriage. But I remember getting so much more done when I was single. Singleness is a gift, and it's worth celebrating. So if you're single today and you desire to be married, then amazing. Then pray for that and see what the Lord does. But for some people, actually, singleness is going to be that's God's gift to you, for you to focus on what the Lord. Let me read out. A celibacy, a spirit-given calling and empowerment to remain unmarried for the sake of focused devotion and service to God. Rather than being merely an absence of marriage, it's viewed as a gift that frees a person for kingdom ministry. What a high calling is that? Amen? So married, single, there's no high bar. They're both the same, whatever God is calling you to. And the sixth one is martyrdom. Martyrdom is the spirit-given capacity to remain faithful to Christ in the face of suffering, persecution, loss, or even death. This gift reflects extraordinary courage and unwavering commitment to Jesus regardless of the cost. And we know, don't we, friends, and just look at the Open Doors watch list of the many thousand Christians around the globe and millions across time who have given their life for Christ. Some of them didn't know that would be the call. Can I say in the early days of the early church, certainly the first few hundreds under the persecution of Rome, many, it was expected that they were going to be martyred. It was expected. If you come to faith, you're probably going to be martyred. But can I say, as Tertullian, the 200th century, second century apologist said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The church has spread when there's been cost. When we're comfortable, the church doesn't spread. But when there's discomfort, when there's opposition, that's when the church rises up and say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me, died for the society. And that's when the gospel goes out even more powerfully. Amen. So we've got those first love gifts. I've got to go really quickly. Then we've got the second category, which is word gifts. So some of these come out from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we've got spiritual gifts. And Ephesians chapter 4, there are five, we call them the apes gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd or pastor, and teacher. And they are what we call Christ ascension gifts. So they are gift. The gift is not through the Holy Spirit, the gift is the person. The person is a gift to the body of Christ. Okay? So, but there are, so for example, a teacher is a gift to the body of Christ, but someone might have a spiritual gift of teaching. Okay? Obviously, a teacher, Ephesians 4 gifting, will have that spiritual gift as well. But so there's different gifts there. And so we've got apostleship, and you can read that in your and you've got evangelist. So evangelist isn't just about sharing the good news, it's about raising up the church to equip the church to be witnesses. Amen? That's the gift of the evangelist. Pastoring, a shepherd, the teacher. And then we've also got other gifts. Encouragement or exhortation. Okay? We have also got leadership. So a leadership gift. And in terms of prophecy, so there's the Ephesians 4 office of the prophet, okay? The prophet. But all of us are encouraged to prophesy. Amen? So there's a prophet, but all of us, the whole body is encouraged to prophesy. So we'll speak more about that in a few moments. And then we've got so how do we step out? And so these gifts will share scripture, encourage people, lead a group. Just start activating these gifts. If you feel you've got one of these gifts or a Christ gift or spiritual gift in leadership, then you start stepping out. And then we've got the power gifts. So these demonstrate God's power. These gifts involve the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit that reveal God's activity among his people. They strengthen faith, bring healing and freedom, help people encounter God in tangible ways. So we've got things like faith. So you've got not just a normal faith, but an extraordinary faith. When all things seem impossible, it rises up and says, no, it's gonna happen. Faith. We've got the discerning of spirits. That's understanding the power source. If something's happening in a room or in a person, what's the source of that? Is that source in the flesh, the person? Is it the source, a demonic source, Satan? Or is it the Holy Spirit? What's the source? What's happening here? Discerning of spirits. Word of wisdom. That's knowing God-given insight, knowing how to act, actions to take. Word of knowledge is information you couldn't possibly have learnt. But suddenly God gives that to you. Maybe to heal someone that's sick. Healing. Gifts of healing. Tongues. Speaking in languages you've not learned. Interpretation of tongues. To be able to interpret. Someone speaks in a tongue that is unlearned and someone has an interpretation. Oh, that's what this means. It's amazing that glorify God. Intercession. So a calling capacity to pray persistently and effectively on behalf of others. Partnering with God's purposes and often carrying burdens in prayer that others do not perceive. So we are all called to pray. We're all called to pray. But some people, they just feel a burden. God might show them in the spirit, I've got to pray for this. And they carry that burden until the burden leaves. Or they go through maybe a prayer list and have an ability to pray for that consistently, consistently, consistently until the answers come. Intercession, an amazing gift. So how do we step out on these things? Pray for the sick. Pray courageous prayers. Share spirit-prompted impressions humbly. Always be humble. Many times I say things, Lord, I don't know if this is right, but I'm going to step out in faith and give it anyway. Listen to the Holy Spirit and operate accountably. Always say to people, you know, weigh this up. Weigh this up. You go away and pray about this. If someone gives you a word, a prophetic word, don't just take it on. Just say the thank. So always say thank you. That's nice. I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to weigh it up. But maybe it's confirming something that God is already saying to you. So the gifts are different. The purpose is the same, to reveal Jesus and build up his church, because we are gifted by God and guided by love. And finally, before we move into something practical, it's about the pathway of love. Pathway of love. So we've got 1 Corinthians chapter 12, yeah, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 12 is talking about spiritual gifts, 14 talking about prophecy. Bang in the middle, the sandwich, we have the chapter on love. Love. That's the motivating factor. motivating factor for all that we do, and especially in spiritual gifts. Paul says, tongues without love is a noise. Prophecy without love is empty. Knowledge without love is worthless. Faith without love is nothing. Sacrifice with love gains nothing. So Paul does not diminish the gifts, but he elevates love. He says now, 1 Corinthians 13, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So it's a bit like picture, spiritual gifts are like the vehicle, like the car. Love is the steering wheel. Without the vehicle, you go nowhere. Without the steering wheel, you go somewhere dangerous. God wants both, the vehicle, the spiritual gifts, and the steering wheel, which is love. Amen. Spiritual gifts are for every single one of us. And we want to stir up. I believe the Holy Spirit today wants to pour salt into your mouth today. Salt. Some of you maybe haven't operated in spiritual gifts for years, or maybe you once did, but God wants you to start operating. So when we come together, we're praying this morning in pre-service prayer that, you know, fellowship time and coffee. But actually, fellowship time and coffee could be an amazing opportunity for spiritual gifts. You've walked in one way today saying, God, would you speak to me? And the answer's in the room. If you would just ask God, God, use me as part of your body today to be a blessing to someone else. Amen.